Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 106 of The World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, The Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. And this week, of course, in addition to our regular segments, it's the pre-patch. We have to talk about the pre-patch because, as always, with Blizzard, it's not live until it's live. There were some changes, and there probably are some more changes that we'll figure out, undocumented changes, as we go. So, still plenty of tricks and issues and bugs and whatnot to look into. Now, of course, the podcast is made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, can get access to my full TSM setup. So if you're interested in that, then head over to patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And now we'll jump into the episode. We'll start by looking at how I've done this week. And we'll look at BFA first. So currently I'm sitting at 16.7 million in BFA, which is like 100,000 gold more than last week. So I've spent a little bit of gold, because I've made some sales as well. My sales were 579k, of which 66k actually were still BOEs. We're still getting some sales from BOEs. So that does mean I've spent about 400k, something like that, this week. Mostly shopping for Abyssal Fragments, because they've been so nice to flip. I've had such success with them so far. And I've also started shopping, restocking, and crafting a bit on my new main realm in retail. Because there were some changes in the last build of the PTR that went live. Just like 4 or 5 hours before the pre-patch, they made changes to professions that we'll talk more about. But overall, it means that I am going back into BFA professions. That's the gist of it. And then we'll talk a lot more about it in the discussion point this week, because that's the main focus of the episode. So let's just look at how I've done in Classic this week. So currently in Classic, I'm sitting at about 6,700 liquid gold. I have another 5,000 gold worth of auctions. So that's really, really good. My sales this week were up again, like closer to what it's typically been, 2,600 gold, so nothing amazing by my standards, but still pretty good. And I mean, if we look at the changes to my overall stats, like my liquid gold and auction house value, this has been a fantastic week. I have 1,600 gold more than I did last week, which reflects that I didn't spend much on restocking this week. I did do one restock at the beginning of the week, and then I've just been selling out slowly. But I still have a ton of stuff left over on the auction house. 5,000 left on the auction house, and a good bit of sales. I don't think I've ever been this high. We're closing in on 7,000. And I'm just coasting at this point. I'm not spending much gold because I haven't been playing that much Classic lately. I've been semi-chilling like overall with WoW, not playing it too much, just to not get like too burned out just before the pre-patch and expansion and the hype, because now I just want to go. There's so many things I want to do on my BFA main realm now. So many things I can do to make gold and to make gold now and to make more gold in the future that I will be doing. So my Classic motivation is not at the tops, but I mean, I'm doing well in Classic. Like just coasting is very good. So that's what happens when you have built a strong base, then you don't really need to spend much effort to maintain a decent level of sales and a decent level of profit. So that's pretty cool to see. All right. So the game, we'll talk about Classic first this time, because then we'll do about the game and just a huge discussion point about the pre-patch and what's going on and the undocumented changes and my experience, which is now just like one evening, because I'm recording this on the day of the pre-patch in EU, of course. But we'll talk about that. Now, for Classic, Naxxramas is on the PTR, and it has been for a little while. I should maybe have covered this earlier. Phase 6 is thus not too far off into the future. We don't know exactly how long into the future it is, But it's not too far off. Could be 4 weeks, could be 6 weeks. We don't know quite sure, but it does mean that people will start thinking about preparing for Naxxramas. So, of course, frost resistance for Saffron is something a lot of people are aware of. So that means frost resistance gear. It means a lot of frost resistance potions, particularly the greater frost resistance one, which requires elemental water. To start just buying up a large stockpile of elemental water now is probably not a bad idea. Outside of that, you have greater shadow protection potions and the related materials, Fade Leaf, Grave Moss. In particular, you need a lot of Fade Leaf and Grave Moss to craft these. A lot. Each greater shadow protection potion is for each Fade Leaf and Grave Moss. And these will, I hear, be very necessary for Lothub. Very necessary for Lothub. So, of course, we don't know like how it actually is when it goes live, but greater shadow protection potion, greater frost protection potion, and frost resistance gear, definitely things to, if you're not already paying attention to those markets. I think the frost resistance gear is already quite expensive, at least on my realm. But for the materials, there's much higher volume, so the price should not have started increasing significantly yet. So there's a lot more room to move upwards in the material section. So I'd possibly focus on that if you want to invest, because it's a little safer than the frost resistance gear, but there are opportunities. I'm sure there are some other quirks and or tricks or whatever in Naxxramas that means that there are some other consumables or some other items that are going to be really good. If you're familiar with them from private servers or whatever, then I'd be happy to hear about them. Because it's always interesting to know what you should be looking at into the future. But right now, I don't have any other specifics than the ones I mentioned. This week, so that's it for the game, because now we'll talk a lot about retail after the questions from our patrons. But there aren't any questions from my patrons this week, so they're not very talkative. Hopefully we can get one next week to answer, because that's always fun. So, the discussion point, the big thing, BFA pre-patch, or Shadowlands pre-patch, I should say. Gotta start wrapping my head from BFA to Shadowlands. The pre-patch is out, and we got some last-minute changes. Now, of course, a week ago, when I recorded this, I recorded my last episode, I recorded it literally just as the Relic of the Past nerf was found on the PTR. And, 4 hours before the pre-patch went live, another Relic of the Past nerf on the PTR. So this time around, what did they do? They decreased the required level and item level of Relic 5 crafted gear. So instead of being required level 50 and being on par with Uncanny Combatant gear in terms of item level, it's now required level 47 or something and much lower item level. And overall, to me, that seems to just make the entire Relic of the Past system completely pointless. Because you level so quickly. Like, according to a guy on WoW Economy, you can get from level 47 to 50 in 30 minutes just by picking herbs and mining in Pandaria. So you don't even need gear to level quickly. So any leveling gear is completely pointless. It's not going to have an effect on your leveling speed, so there's no point in spending gold on that. So that means that the entire Relic of the Past system is completely pointless, since it no longer has a max level component. Relic gear. First, they nerfed the Vendor Shuffle, which I think was good, because Vendor Shuffles are generally bad for the game. If they are strong, they should not be strong. Vendor Shuffles should never be the best way to spend your time. And they should never be the best way to generate raw gold. For many different reasons that I'm not going to go into in this episode. But nerfing the Vendor Shuffle was absolutely necessary. This second nerf just means that I don't know. It seems like it doesn't... why did they even make the system if they were going to nerf it to complete irrelevancy? I mean, they were doing optional reagents for Shadowlands anyway, and Shadowlands, assuming they remain somewhat like they are right now, they'll be very interesting with the crafter's mark. So we'll see. But yeah, Relics of the Past part of this system is just like, whatever. The flip side of this, of course, is that Uncanny Combatant Gear is back on the menu. So for those of you like me who thought that we were finally done with the Scrapper, well, turns out I was wrong. When I realized this, like, I've already scrapped like 350 bracers, and I've had an hour to play or something like that today. So yeah, we're back to the Bracers for Azeroth. Because this is the pre-patch, this is the time when people come back to the game, this is the time when people level alts, particularly with the faster and revamped leveling. And what do people need when they hit max level? Well, they need catch-up gear. And what's the catch-up gear? Well, now the catch-up gear is uncanny gear. So go craft uncanny gear and craft a lot of expulsum. And I already got my first sale. Like, I crafted a couple of pieces of uncanny tail ring gear, posted them, got the sale already. It should be really strong. And overall, this means, of course, with the increased length of the pre-patch, I think that most BFA level markets, most consumables, enchants, gems, everything should remain relevant for a lot longer than I was expecting. They should be, like, if Shadowlands would have been releasing on time, then about this time is where you really start to look at exiting most of the BFA markets. At this point, we're looking at least a month and a half until Shadowlands launches. That's my personal guess, which means we have at least 5 weeks of pretty much all BFA professions being relevant. That's my personal opinion. Of course, I could be wrong, but my experience from the last couple of expansion launches has been that crafted gear, consumables, enchants, everything has been selling all the way up until like the final couple of days before the next expansion actually launches. Because even though it's all going to be invalidated when the new expansion launches, there's nothing else to spend your gold or time doing than improving your character in the current paradigm. So people do it. You can also prepare for Shadowlands, but improving your character right now is also preparing for Shadowlands, because it means you'll be stronger and level faster. So yeah. I've also had success selling bags. I just have the normal deep sea bags and not even rank 3. And I won't get rank 3 because it's on an alt that is not set foot in Vol'Dun, and I'm not going to farm Revered. But they do sell, and the prices of the materials are dirt cheap. Goblin glider kits, I've sold my first couple of them as well. They will be huge in Shadowlands, absolutely. You have to have them, because Revendreth and Revendreth in particular is so much verticality. So if you want to move around there efficiently, bring gliders, or be a demon hunter, of course. There was also some stuff from, we'll take that at the end, a little bit of stuff from the beta, but there are some more things to say about the pre-patch. They've, of course, like with every patch, there are bugs, there are loopholes. This time around, there's another infinite gold bug. There's the vendor shuffle. I'm not going to tell you where it is, because Blizzard will obviously fix it, and they will ban anyone who did it. But you can buy an item from a vendor and open it, and the contents of that package will vendor back for more than you paid for it. So yeah, there will be some ban waves going out. I mean, some gold might get through and get into the economy, but they're gonna be banned. Don't worry about it. Now, undocumented and unknown changes. This is the big one, and this is why preparing for patches can be dangerous, because Blizzard can and will have changes that they will be pushing to the live client that never made it on the PTR, never made it on the beta, or never made it into data mining. They will always have internal builds where they have all of the systems working together as they expect them to at the end. And they might be different on testing for many different reasons. So we'll actually talk about an example from the beta for that. So we don't know everything yet because there's loads of things we haven't tested. I've seen some people, there was a post on Reddit talking about the expulsion rate, if that was nerfed from Tidespray Linen Bracers. In the batch of scrapping that I personally did today, it did not seem like it. But I did just scrap 240 bracers, so that's not enough to conclude at all. Not enough. I'd need 10 times that much to be reasonably certain. I got about 33. I got 33 expulsion from about 240 bracers, so that's about 14%, which is pretty close to the 15% that we knew it has been for a long time. Some things that are certain is, of course, that the uncommon crafted gear can no longer proc into rares. So that's going to have a very significant impact on enchanting, of course. And the old way of shuffling enchanting is not going to work. So that's an interesting change. I wonder how... I might have to do some testing with enchanting shuffles because they're going to look very different. There's also the fact that when you scrap Tidespray Linen Bracers, you get, in addition to nylon thread, Tidespray Linen, you also get deep sea satin and embroidered deep sea satin. You get all materials every time, one or two of each. So this, this seems like a bug. I'd expect Blizzard to fix it, but of course you never know. Sadly, there isn't really any ways of spending embroidered deep sea satin in any meaningful capacity, unless you have the bag recipe and a lot of tidal cores. So if this remains, then deep sea and embroidered deep sea satin will obviously fall in price significantly. But I'd assume this gets fixed. I mean, it looks very like a bug, so we'll see. I'd be surprised if it's intended, but we never know because Blizzard does not really communicate a lot about professions. So maybe we should be a little bit more vocal towards Blizzard and hopefully get them to communicate with us their intent with some of these changes. That would be interesting. So overall, this means that pre-patch and the next at least 4 weeks will just be business as usual. It will be business as usual in all of the BFA profession markets. So if you're in them, just stay in them. They should still work. In fact, they'll probably be better because I expect competition will fall now that the Brutosaur is dead and people can't get it anymore. I guess some people will probably just keep going and look to buy it from the auction house or the black market auction house. But I'm guessing that a lot of people just called it quits and left gold making because it did seem like a lot of people were doing raw gold grinding for 5 million, which is insane to me. But of course, they're free to do whatever they want. Now, lastly, there was some news from the beta that I wanted to share. I've talked about how there are a lot of things you can craft without leveling to 60. And it does seem that in the latest build, I haven't personally tested it yet, but apparently the recipe for the legendary base items is no longer something you can train at the vendor. It is now something that you get from the rune carver in Torghast, which means that you need to be level 60 to unlock these recipes. So that's going to have, that's going to have a huge effect. Obviously, that's going to give you a much stronger value for getting to 60 quickly on your crafting profession of choice. And it's going to make expected profit margins on these items much, much higher. Because you will not be competing with people. If this is true. Now, from what I see on currently on my beta client, at least this hasn't been changed. So we'll see what how it goes live. But if that changes, then expect leveling quickly to 60 and unlocking that recipe to be huge for profits. So yeah, that's gonna be it for me this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did and you want to read more about gold making, you can do so at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, then you can do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And with a final massive thank you to my patrons, I wish you all a very profitable week. Goodbye, guys.